ESPN 970 and 97.5 The Zone is your source for the best Boise State information, interviews, and analysis. Now, The Zone presents the Obnug Podcast, the creators of Boise State's premier fan site. One Bronco Nation under God. Take over The Zone airwaves with their weekly podcast to spew their blue and orange fandom. For all you Nuggies, visit www.obnug.com. Now, Drew Roberts and Jesse Baker.
Hello and welcome back to the Obnug Podcast, brought to you as usual by InTheZone.fm. So check those guys out. They do some good stuff and they're nice enough to host our show. You can find them online. And if you're in the Twin Falls area, I'm sure you can find it on your radio dial. I am Drew Roberts, as usual, after a short bye week. Well, I guess a regular length bye week, if you will. But I was actually out of town last week. Bye week came at a perfect time for us to get a little break. God knows the Broncos needed a little time off, too, to mend themselves, lick their wounds. And so we are back. And so tonight we will actually be recapping something 2 weeks ago, the Nevada game, and we'll be leaping forward to the Fresno game. But first off, I'd like to introduce my counterpart here, Jesse Baker, who helps out on Obnug, does some great stuff. How you doing tonight, Jesse?
Hey, as always, man, just doing well. The bye week came at a great time for me, too. And actually, I was out of town, out of Seattle, but I was actually in Boise, for a wedding there in town. Congratulations, Caleb and Christelle. May you live happily ever after. And now I'm back here in Seattle. But good news, like you know, I will be down there on Friday for the Fresno State game in person, finally.
Yeah, Jesse's finally going to get a little taste of that sweet press box action. So, and I'll actually be in a jacket, I think, for the first game of the season. I know we've only had two home games so far, but it's been pretty well a short sleeve t-shirt type weather. But it's been getting a little brisk at night. I'm glad the kickoff isn't as late as it has been. I'm thinking I might need to bust out the mock turtleneck. I mean, that's always a good look, right?
Well, you have a built-in sweater with just your natural hair, so I don't know what you're complaining about.
That's true. A lot of people think I'm Armenian, but not the case. as we usually do, we'd like to kind of kick things off with a little bit of news from around Bronco Nation. And there's a lot of stuff going on. There was some things that happened in the bye week, some things that happened at the Sunday presser this week. And so to start us off, Jesse, what's the big news that we got going on?
Yeah, I'm going to start out this podcast with two pieces of news. One is really bad. One will make you feel better about yourselves. The first is Matt Miller. It was announced by Coach Harsin on Sunday that Matt Miller's Boise State career is likely over. That lingering ankle issue will require surgery and will definitely sideline him for an extended period of time. In Coach Brian Harsin's own words, he said Matt Miller would have to be an incredible healer to be able to make it back this season, which is incredibly heartbreaking. Matt Miller is the quintessential Bronco, that's been said many times. He is the all-time leader in receptions. If he has played his final down as a Boise State Bronco, he will fall 16 yards short of the all-time leading receiving yards mark set by Titus Young. So a sad way to go for Mr. Miller from Helena, Montana. So despite that sad news, again, I don't like to just leave people down in the dumps. I will just say the Idaho Vandals are holding down the ESPN bottom 10 at number 8. So, and they now hold the longest losing streak in the nation.
How many games is that they're currently on?
I believe it's 10, and their last win was Temple last year. Man, really hanging their hats on that Temple game. Who would have thunk?
Yes, indeed. And might I just add my personal sadness to the Matt Miller story? As you said, quintessential Bronco, means a ton to this team. Unfortunately, is a bit of a crutch for our friend Grant Hedrick. We didn't have him against Nevada, and it seemed like you know, he was spreading the ball around a little more. So, you know, silver lining here might be that Grant has to end up relying on a few other people besides Miller, but that's a huge weapon to lose. And get well soon, Matt. I'd love it if you could come back for the bowl game, get that record from Titus Young. And so Godspeed. On that kind of note, I'd like to talk about some of the good, and this probably just, you know, some stuff that's coming off the bye week. We don't know for sure because, you know, Harsin started to be a little more tight-lipped about things, but it does look like we're going to have some guys back. Reese Odhiambo definitely looks like he might be back and ready for prime time. I know that Cleishon Page played a little bit at Nevada, but it seems like he's kind of full tilt now and ready to go, and that's going to be good against a Fresno team that, you know, not as good as they were at passing as they were last year, but they do have a receiver, Josh Harper, who we'll probably talk about later, who, you know, is definitely a good receiver. We're going to need to put our best guys on that. Definitely think Cleishon is one of our better guys. So other guys, maybe game time decision, but it does look like that bye week has healed some of the wounds from our guys. Hopefully we'll be at near full strength against Fresno. So what else you got, man?
Yeah, Jake Rowe. The record-breaking or the record-chasing tight end. It's kind of weird to say that as a Boise State Bronco from years past. But currently, he is on pace for 37 receptions this year, which, believe it or not, I believe only three other Broncos have caught more than 30 passes. So expect him to kind of be in that conversation as kind of one of the great tight end years for Boise State Bronco. I don't think we would have imagined that at the beginning of the season, but he has really provided a needed weapon for Grant Hedrick and company. You know, there's rumblings out there that with Matt Miller's absence, that Jake Rowe might be split out to that wide receiver position more and more. He played there in high school a fair amount. I'm really interested to see how they will use him, kind of like Texas Tech last year with Jason Morrow, kind of that hybrid wide receiver tight end combo. So actually, I expect him, when all is said and done, to really shatter that record for receptions by a tight end.
Yeah, that one kind of snuck up on me a little bit. I mean, thinking back at the, you know, pretty good legacy that Boise State has with tight ends, you've got Jed Poitier and, you know, Derek Schumann and guys like that. And, you know, Schumann actually never had 30 plus catches in a season. He was not among those three listed in, I believe it was Jay Tuss' tweet earlier today or sometime this week. So yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. Also, of note that Jake Rowe is only a freshman. So, you know, good to see him coming on strong after a red shirt last year. You know, I'll kind of wrap things up here in our kind of news segment with just talking about Boise State, some of the statistics after six games. Boise State is officially halfway through their season, believe it or not. Obviously, we hold a 4-2 record, 2-1 in the Mountain West. The Mountain West still appears to be up for grabs by anyone. Boise State has some good stats here to report. Boise State, 147 first downs, only 117 for opponents. Boise State put up nearly 3,000 yards of total offense and about 483 yards a game. They're only allowing 374 yards a game. Rushing yardage, Boise State well over 1,000 yards on the year and 11 touchdowns there. Have only given up six rushing touchdowns and only 657 yards in six games rushing, which is another great stat. Boise State, 17 sacks on the season. Have only given up 13. So that's something to, you know, possibly watch this weekend. Boise State's torrid sack pace slowed a little bit, but still doing pretty well through six games, I'd say. And here's one that's creeping up, but still maybe a little bit of a cause for concern. Boise State's red zone touchdown percentage at 56.7%, which not great, but has crept up slightly. And overall red zone scoring at 76%. So that encapsulates kicking, touchdowns and the like. So some encouraging things there for the Broncos. On an individual basis, Jay Ajayi, 749 rushing yards through six games and eight touchdowns. So, you know, that's a good number for him. His rushing yards per carry is down slightly over his career numbers, but he's still at 5 yards per carry, which is pretty darn good if you can feed that guy often enough. Grant Hedrick has upped his touchdown total to 7 touchdowns, still 10 interceptions, so that's a little problematic. But those numbers are starting to even out just a little bit. And of course, Matt Miller, our leading receiver, and I don't think he's going to stay that way. Now that he's done for the year, most likely, Shane Williams-Rhodes is your second best guy, so look for him to maybe pick up more of the load, and also some of those third and fourth type receivers. A couple of defensive numbers. Darian Thompson leads the team in interceptions with 4, and so that's a pretty good pace that he's on there. And still your tackles leader is Tanner Vallejo with 38 stops through 6 games, and also 7.5 tackles for loss. So fantastic numbers for a true sophomore in Tanner Vallejo. So that's about the long and short of the stat sheet for the Broncos right now. Anything jump out there at you, Jesse, or everything pretty much where you want to see it?
Well, no, not everything is where I want to see it, but going forth through this season, we've seen some good increases on the defensive end. Of course, we'd like to see the ball spread out a little bit more. I think we've talked about, and of course, we'll talk about, or at least I'll talk about, Jay Ajayi coming back and still being that workhorse that we expect him to be, which was very much expected this year. But putting up those numbers, it's looking more and more like he will be a big key to the season success for Boise State.
Yeah, absolutely. And, before we kind of cut, to commercial and start talking about the recap for Nevada, just how timely was this bye week for the Broncos? A pretty hot start out of the gate, a lot of strung together some road games and things like that. Obviously, injuries starting to mount and things like that. Could a bye week come at a better time?
No, absolutely not. You kind of withstand the nicks from the first part of the season, the first 6 games. You get a bye week, able to heal up, and then you have two extremely important games, at least in terms of the Bronco mindset. You face a heated rival of late, in Fresno State at home. You are battling for the Mel can, and then you get BYU at home for a little taste of redemption, hopefully, and then you go back into another bye week. So, these players can have these 2 weeks to really sell out, put everything on the line, because they know that they've got another bye week coming up where they can rest and get healthy again. So, again, both bye weeks, I think, are perfect for what this team needs.
Yeah, and I might add that, I'm kind of glad Boise State didn't face that bye week directly after the Air Force game, as horrible as that game was and costly as it was. Boise State definitely needed a rebound, and nothing, gets those guys, back in the right mindset by, playing a rival game the next week, which they did against Nevada, and mercifully won. And so we'll talk about that game when we come back from commercial, so we'll be right back.
You're listening to ESPN 970 and 97.5 The Zone. Now, back to the Obnug Podcast with Drew Roberts and Jesse Baker.
We are back with our second segment of the evening, and we will be talking about the Nevada game, which, as usual, was a barn burner. Didn't used to be this way, but of late it seemed like that's kind of the way things have gone. So I don't know if Boise State's kind of come back to reality or Nevada has really improved that much, but I kind of get wistful for those days when Boise State would put up these 40-point wins on Nevada. Of late they've been a little bit more competitive, and I don't want to say Brian Polian's a good coach. I don't think he is, but there's definitely some mojo that happens down in Reno. And, there's definitely a lot of hatred and things like that flowing through Reno. Of course, Broncos are happy to reciprocate that hate. I should first off, kind of mention that for the second segment, we are joined by a good friend of Obnug, Damian Alhambra. If you ever see him roaming around Obnug, he goes by I Was Run. That's his screen name. And he's also the same on Twitter. When Obnug did our fundraiser a couple of weeks ago, I guess a couple months ago at this point, to kind of you know, help out, help pad our equipment locker for our newfound press credentials. We had a series of different fundraising levels that people could reach, the highest of which being the Kellen Moore level, which is actually above All-American level, because Kellen Moore, obviously. And we kind of jokingly kind of put that one out there, not really thinking many people would bite on that. We said one of the perks would be all the other swag, plus you get to join us on the podcast. And lo and behold, Damian stepped up to the plate and was really a great donor for us, a huge Obnug supporter. And we're happy to welcome Damian to the podcast. How you doing, Damian?
Doing well, sir. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you. I had a chance to meet Damian in person at the ill-fated Air Force showing at the sub, and we were able to talk. He knows a lot about Bronco football, but because of this, I also get to share the blame with Damian for the horrible showing of the Broncos, because I do believe that my sub attendance is somehow a correlation with Boise State playing horribly. So, Damian, you willing to share some of the blame for that one?
We broke with routine. Usually I'm at home or with the family. This one, I broke out on my own, and sure enough.
Yeah, it's hard to resist the Chick-fil-A and the big screen TVs, but in the future, let's go ahead and do that. You know, first off, I guess I'll go ahead and throw the first one to you, Damian. Concerning the Nevada game, just how good did that win feel?
Well, overall, for me, it was a lot of weight off my chest in regards to just questions we had about Hedrick and how the defense was playing, and just being Reno, just in general, just being Reno and being in that environment and just everything about it. So going in there, escaping with the win, it just a big relief for me, and seeing Hedrick bounce back, it was great.
Yeah, it definitely stopped the blood, because, you know, if Boise State would have come off the Air Force game with a, you know, letdown game against Nevada, you know, that really could have had a big impact on the rest of the season, in my opinion. And so good to kind of get things going in the right direction. Jesse, how about you? You know, how did you feel about that game, especially coming off such a blistering defeat to Air Force?
Yeah, I mean, I felt real, real good about that game. I mean, a great example of a college football game just literally turning on a dime. In 1 minute, you see Nevada, it looked like they had all the momentum. They're playing with some swagger at home. And then five minutes later, it seemed like Boise State had just all of a sudden stumbled upon a blowout. It was incredible, that shift there. You know, Hedrick got his redemption. Ajayi got back to, you know, the performances that we've expected from him. And, you know, and despite the 46 points that Nevada put up, you know, I really do feel good about the game. Even the defense, we picked off Cody Fajardo four times, which in the previous three games against the Boise State Broncos, he hadn't thrown an interception. So great bounce back from Air Force. Obviously some things to still improve on, but a great way to come back and beat a rival.
Anytime you beat Reno is a good day for me. And, you know, I would have been happy with a 1-point win. I would have been even happier with a 40-point win, but, you know, the Broncos like to, you know, test my pacemaker from time to time. So that's what they did in that one. I was up late, around the computer watching that one, and, was unable to go to bed directly after because the adrenaline was really pumping. So I guess you know, it made me feel alive. So I guess that's something. Damian, how do you feel about, Grant Hedrick's, you know, kind of a snapback game, if you will? Obviously had a very rough outing against Air Force, but, you know, showed some good things in Nevada. You know, you want to talk about his performance just a little bit?
Well, I think you're right about, him having to go to other resources other than, Miller. You know, it's kind of a bummer how that came about and what forced him to do that, but to have him take command of the offense and just really be bold and be out there and, you know, not be afraid to take shots like he did. That's impressive. I mean, to just bounce back and show the fortitude that, you know, he needed to do that. I mean, it was just great. And then everybody else step up, Jake Rowe. I mean, just guys being there for him and doing what they could to help him out. I mean, that really helps not only with his confidence, but I think putting the confidence back with the coaches that, you know, that they made the right decision to stick with him despite the quote unquote quarterback controversy that that we were supposed to have. So that just kind of eased my mind.
The team probably always had Hedricks back, but I think his performance against Nevada might have, you know, brought some of the fans back into the fold who had started to kind of turn on him a little bit. You talk about that a little bit, Jesse.
You know, I was just going to say at this point, you know what you're going to get from Grant Hedrick. You know, mildly inconsistent, to say the least. He's going to be an accurate passer, hasn't exactly found the touch on the deep ball yet. And, you know, the story of his career is just that ball security. You know, I'm talking here specifically about fumbling. Even when he had package plays, you know, the first 2 years of his career, it always seemed that he would have ball security issues, a fumble here, a fumble there. As for the quarterback controversy, there really isn't. Yeah, I mean, it showed perfectly. If the coaching staff were going to do some sort of position change, it would have been this game, you know, coming back off of such a horrific performance against Air Force. So really, I mean, yes, there was a controversy in the minds of some fans, but that really was not a reality.
Yeah, you know, even in the hours before the game, I was kind of hearing some rumors on the rumor mill that, you know, possibly Finley was going to get that start, things like that. Obviously, that
was only for me.
Well, I think it was a third party. I think you'd seen it from somewhere else and kind of passed that on. But, I honestly probably wouldn't have been that surprised if they had trotted out Finley, you know, just to kind of establish things. But, you know, as it was, Hedrick came out firing and you know, got his confidence back and, you know, the rest of Bronco Nation. So that was good to see. You know, we also saw a little bit of that touch on the deep ball that we hadn't seen this year from Hedrick. Also saw a few new faces kind of get into the game, either for the first time or at least, you know, kind of get their first touches of the year. Damian, what you want to talk a little bit about some of the positives you saw from that game or, you know, some real standout performances?
Well, I think the obvious one is going to be McNichols. I mean, just having him in the stable and having him coming in after Ajayi, especially when we were supposed to see was Fields coming in. So I guess one big positive for me is having more of a running game that not just Jai, but everybody else chipping in. McNichols, just seeing him, you know, kind of a change of pace back, coming in and kind of supporting Jai and being a good second option, which always kind of makes me curious about game planning for the other team. You know, is it kind of a misnomer to put so much stock in that because they haven't planned for him, or, you know, is there a question about, you know, how much more of him are we going to see going forward?
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, they really kind of threw McNichols out there in some pass plays and got him you know, some end around type things. He's definitely quicker to the corner and the edge than Ajayi is. He's not as physical as Ajayi, obviously, but he's definitely got some wheels. And I think he only had 5 touches in that game and 82 yards of offense. So it was good to see a new weapon emerge. I was a little surprised to see his redshirt burn, but, you know, after the game, I certainly had no qualms about it. Anyone stand out to you, Jesse?
Well, obviously McNichols, and actually, you know, you say he had the 5 touches, and all I could keep thinking about was, man, I wonder what the Boise State coaching staff is setting up, you know, for the weeks to come in terms of using McNichols as a play fake type of guy to set up a deep pass or some sort of reverse, because every time McNichols was in the game, he received the ball. There, obviously, that's not really a sustainable thing. Opposing coaches will start to game plan around that. So again, it's kind of that setup thing that I'm really excited about. Hey, I'm a passing guy. I love deep passes, and so I was excited to see a deep ball finally connected between Hedrick and Chaz Anderson. Good to see another receiver get out there, stretch the field, and open up the running game a little bit. And I mentioned it before, but we'll mention it again. Jay Ajayi really righted the ship, I believe. He played angry, had 162 yards, the 3 touchdowns, and just completely embarrassed one of their defensive tackles, which I've never, ever seen a play like that in my life, where you just run head first right into the defensive tackle, knock him down, and then run for 40 yards.
Yeah, and it seemed like you know, Boise State needed a spark, and Ajayi provided it. And, you know, prior to that first big run, Ajayi had been bottled up fairly well by the Nevada defense, which was much improved over last year. And, you know, Ajayi, you know, a couple of those looked like they were going to go for loss, and then he just kind of bounced around and took off. So great to see from Ajayi. I'll throw one more out there, and this is just kind of a, you know, good job, good effort sort of thing. You know, kind of a shout out to Joe Martirano, who was kind of thrust into the limelight there with Blake Reno being out and made the most of it. I think played about 40 snaps in that game, you know, made some nice tackles. He's now got 7 tackles on the year, which with, you know, hardly any playing time. So, you know, yeah, I saw him around there a lot, you know, making some big hits and good sticks. So definitely good to see Martirano get in there as a highly touted player that we had yet to really see. So, you know, good job all around there. You know, I'm sure there's a few negatives that we could kind of get into, but, you know, I think you could probably guess it to what some of these are, these some kind of lingering questions we have in the secondary, the inability to kind of put a 4-quarter effort together. So we won't go too much into that. We'll probably just wrap it up and say, hey, good win over Nevada. Always a good win over Nevada. And one rival, we get a check off the list. We've got a couple more to go. So with that, we'll head to commercial, come back and chit-chat about our next rivalry game coming up.
For all you Nuggies, visit www.obnug.com. The Obnug Podcast will be right back on KZNO, ESPN 970 and 97.5, and InTheZone.fm. You're listening to ESPN 970 and 97.5 The Zone. Now, back to the Obnug Podcast with Drew Roberts and Jesse Baker.
And welcome back to the Obnug Podcast. We just got done talking about the big win over Nevada, and another big game coming up this weekend against Boise State's main rival. I don't know if you'd call them that, but in most people's eyes, they're our main rival, the Fresno State Bulldogs, sans Pat Hill, which kind of makes me sad. Sans Derek Carr, which doesn't make me sad. Boise State battling for the milk can, and I believe to regain the milk can for the first time. I think ever since that trophy's inception, Boise State has at least had that trophy in the case. And last season under Derek Carr, Fresno State was able to barely sneak it out from our fingers, or pry it out from our fingers, I might want to say. So, always a big game. Looks like the game might be heading for a sellout. I called the ticket office this morning looking for an extra ticket for my wife, and they're getting scarce. So if you don't have a ticket yet and you'd like to go, you better get on the horn. I know a few people on Obnug have been coming around peddling free tickets, so watch our sidebar because those might come up, and first come, first serve as far as I know. So, you know, first off, we might just want to talk about kind of like the reversal of fortune here. I know Boise State's not exactly where they used to be, but Fresno State's definitely not where they were a year ago. Jesse, I'll start out with you, man. I mean, what do you feel about this kind of turning of the tables? And do you think Boise State is kind of ripe to take advantage of such a downturn by Fresno?
Ripe, absolutely. You know, losing such a good quarterback, you know, Derek Carr, now starting for the Oakland Raiders, although I don't know if that's really one that I would put on my resume, is, you know, the loss. He was such a big part of that team that there's bound to be a hangover, just like there was with Boise State and Kellen Moore, as we saw just with Hawaii and Colt Brennan. These teams in the Mountain West, they don't have that kind of sustainable talent to keep them going year after year after year. You know, one team that has been able to weather the storm somewhat, obviously, is Boise State. I mean, we kind of turn our noses at a 9-win year, which is pretty incredible. But definitely they've looked sporadic, as what you would expect from a first-year starting quarterback this year. Boise State has all of the, I don't know what you want to say. It's just there's a lot of advantages there for Boise State that I think they will take advantage of and play a beautiful game on Friday. They better, because I'll be there. I'll be watching in person.
And how are you feeling about this matchup just at a high level, Damian? And are you going to be at the game?
Well, I won't be at the game. I'm going to be at home with the 3 kiddos, so I'll be able to just keep track of it on my computer. But as far as the actual game itself, definitely forward to it. Definitely looking to see that the milk can come back to Boise. It's interesting, kind of the distinction between the two teams from last Fresno teams from last year to this year. I mean, they're definitely going through that really rough transition period that growing period that every young team, i.e. new quarterback, kind of seems to go through. And it's just kind of, you know, BSU fans kind of think they had it bad when they had to go to Southwick. But, I mean, to go from Derek Carr and then go to what they have now and then losing to UNLV, I mean, it's just got to be kind of a shocker. And I don't think – did BSU ever have that bad of a loss? No. So it's just kind of an interesting to look at the two sides about, you know, what you had versus what you have now. So, but I'm really excited about the game. Should be good. Hopefully it's an orange out this time. So I'm really looking forward to seeing all that orange in the stands.
Yeah. And, you know, it's never easy to replace a legend. And obviously Fresno State had to do that in trying to replace Derek Carr. But I think, you know, one of the differences, you know, between Boise State, you know, post Kellen Moore was that, you know, Boise State still got 11 wins the season after Kellen Moore graduated, largely riding that, you know, great Boise State defense. Well, Fresno State's defense was poor even last year when they were flirting with the top 10. And so now, you know, couple that porous defense with an offense that suddenly isn't so, you know, fantastic. And that's kind of a recipe for some disaster. And so Fresno State struggling a little bit. I definitely think they're ripe to be knocked off. I just hope Boise State can put it all together. And a couple stats to throw out here. Boise State is 6-0 in home games against Fresno State since 2001. And in fact, Boise State has only lost once in Boise to Fresno State. And that was all the way back in 1984. So it's been quite a while since Fresno has got one over on the Broncos in Boise. And I think might be a key factor to watch in this game. But also there's going to be some players to watch in this game for the Bulldogs. And Jesse, you want to start us off? What guys kind of stand out to you on the Bulldog roster, guys we need to be wary of?
Yeah, that conversation begins and ends with Josh Harper. You know, he's a holdover from the pass happy days of the last previous three seasons. He's projected as a second round pick. I looked that up as I was preparing for this episode. Made me sad because I was looking and Matt Miller's projected to go between the sixth and seventh round. But Josh Harper, NFL talent, he has 47 catches on the year, only the three touchdowns. But he comes in with over 185 career receptions, over 2,400 yards receiving, and 25 touchdowns. Say it every week because it's the most glaring issue is our Boise State secondary. If teams can go to it and find the well, I mean, that's really where Boise State is going to have some problems. So Josh Harper, case closed for me.
Yeah, Damian, did you have a chance to look over the Fresno depth chart? And have you watched any games this year to, you know, kind of isolate some guys to watch out for?
Well, I don't really know about the quarterback, Brian Burrell, and just how he's been struggling this year, struggling enough that there's been calls to, you know, bench him. But I mean, who knows? I mean, hopefully the secondary will be able to step up and keep Harper under wraps. That way Burrell struggles even more.
Yeah, and I definitely think, you know, Boise State getting after Burrell is the key to kind of neutralizing Harper, because I don't think you can do that on a, in a one-on-one type situation. Burrell's backup is a redshirt freshman, Zach Greenlee, who's actually a pretty highly touted recruit. Not as highly touted as Derek Carr, obviously, but I think a lot of people think he's kind of the future of that program at that position. So people calling for him to start or at least get some playing time. Either way, I think if Burrell struggles, even if they throw Greenlee in there, you know, I don't think that's a good situation for a redshirt freshman to find himself in the confines of Boise Broncos Stadium or Albertson Stadium. Sorry, still trying to get used to that. You might also want to say, you know, that Fresno does have a couple good rushers, some guys to watch out for. Josh Quezada was a guy that did a few things against Boise State last season. I think he was transferred from Utah or something like that. But anyways, he is a senior and a pretty capable running back. Also, Martez Waller, who you know, is kind of a bruising type back like Jay Ajayi. Hasn't ever really reached his full potential, but he had a lot of yards against UNLV and looks like a guy that, you know, Boise State would do well to bottle up. I'm obviously a little less concerned about that given Boise State's propensity to stop the run, but those are definitely guys that we're going to have to watch out for. And also, you know, they do have a pretty good offensive line, so that might be just a key matchup to watch. Boise State defensive line, obviously a strength of the team as well, so it'll be kind of fun to see how that goes. Whoever is the most physical, I think, is going to win that battle. Jesse, you kind of touched on it earlier a little bit, but what do you feel are the biggest advantages or disadvantages of this matchup between the Broncos and the Bulldogs?
I don't know, because I didn't prepare for this podcast as I should have.
All right. We'll just kick it to Damian then.
I'm hoping the biggest disadvantage for Fresno is going to be the Boise State. I hope Matt Boston just goes off on Burrell and just see a beautiful air majestically sack him so many times like the UConn game. I mean, that's what I'm hoping that the disadvantage is going to be.
And I'm just kidding, Drew. I actually had something to say.
We've moved on. We've moved on.
But the defense, their defense is horrible. Again, turnover free football. Boise State wins easy. I mean, it's pretty easy. The fact that Fresno State gives up a lot of points, 55 to Nebraska, 59 to Utah, 52 to USC. You know, that's some tough sledding to start the season on 0-3 before coming in and winning a few Mountain West games, but then come back and lose to UNLV and you know, have them put 30 up on the against the Bulldogs. Just efficient offense will win the game for the Broncos.
Yeah, and I think it might just be as simple as that. You know, Boise State. Oh, I'm hearing a little feedback. Boise State, when the offense is clicking, it's hard to stop. And obviously, Fresno State doesn't really have the dogs to stop that. And yes, pun intended. So I mean, you touched on that a little bit. Might have given a little peek there, but you know, is turnover free football kind of your prime key to this game, Jesse?
Oh yeah, I at this point in Boise State season, I don't know what else you can say, because so much about the swings and the play have all centered around the turnovers. Even injuries have played a very minuscule part compared to turnovers, in my opinion. The injuries that have happened, the Boise State Broncos have withstood and not really been as exposed as they could have been, but obviously the turnovers just keep putting them in holes that, as we saw against Air Force, as we saw against Ole Miss, they just can't get out of.
Yeah, and Damian, I'll kind of kick a different question to you. Sure. Since Jesse's keys to the game were fairly straightforward. We've got, you know, what you might consider a couple rivalry games on the horizon here over the next 4 weeks. We've got Fresno State coming up this weekend. We've got BYU the following weekend. And then we skip a weekend. And then we have San Diego State, who you might call a budding rivalry since they beat us 2 years running. Which of those games do you feel Bronco means the most to Bronco Nation, either from a strategic standpoint or just a, you know, feeling good standpoint?
I guess from a strategic standpoint, I suppose it'd probably be, well, for me anyway, would probably be San Diego State. Just finally beating those guys after 2 years of just jaw dropping losses. I mean, just one of those things that you just can't believe 2 years in a row.
Yeah. And then
for like an emotional, oh, I was going to say, for me, emotionally, probably, I guess, BYU. No, for no other reason than I would just like to beat those guys. I don't know why. They just kind of crack me up with their big play attitude, et cetera. But I do feel bad about Taysom Hill being out, that he definitely does deserve better than what he got in that injury, and I hope he bounces back and is able to move forward with his career, you know, however way that goes.
Yeah, and hey, you don't have to explain your general distaste for BYU. We get it, man. We get it. So yeah, I mean, I think I'm with you on that one. I think the Fresno game is big to kind of reassert our dominance over Fresno, which we've had for so many years. But you know, from a strategic standpoint, you know, that San Diego State game is huge for us. I don't even think San Diego State's the hardest game remaining on the schedule. I think that's probably going to be Utah State, and that's going to be for the, you know, a title bid. But yeah, San Diego State 2 years running, those wins, or those losses, I should say, have felt kind of fluky, but 3 years in a row is no longer a fluke, I think. And you've definitely got an Aztec problem at that point. So definitely want to beat those Bulldogs, but, let's not forget about some other games on the horizon. Don't put all our eggs in one basket here. I think, Jesse, you and I decided to forego the score predictions, and it worked out well against Nevada. We got snake bit against Air Force. So, again, we won't tempt fate. We won't put out score predictions. But I'll just say this to you, Damian, let you kind of wrap this thing up. You know, is it should we be busting out the milk can polish this weekend?
Man, I sure hope so. I think we will. I think it just at home, the environment, you know, the guys getting ready to play, coming off the bye week. Fresno State, they're 3-4, something like that, and they haven't had a bye week yet. I mean, they're going to come in battered and tired. So I think it just things are looking up. I'm super stoked, and that's just going to be a good game. Good game overall.
Okay. So yeah, Broncos are rested and back home, and I think ready to roll. So hopefully we will see the Broncos back in their true form, their home form, which seems to be different than their road form. Before we wrap things up, I'll just mention Obnug will be a part of quite the shindig. Boise Fry Company is throwing a big tailgate party at their Broadway store from 3 to 7. So if Obnuggers are obviously invited to this, we've been personally invited by the BFC crew. So come down, hang out with some Obnuggies. I will probably be there for a little while. Jesse, I think you're also going to take part. So it should be fun. Come down, even if you're not going to the game. So Damian, maybe you could bring the kids down, have some fries. I don't know. But either way, it'll be fun. And Jesse, since you're usually the guy that kind of wraps us up with the Go Broncos, I think since we've got a guest of honor, I'll let Damian maybe do this one. So Damian, you know, without, you know, waking neighbors, give us your best Go Broncos and we'll wrap this thing up till next week.
Yeah, Go Broncos.
Jesse, you got some work to do. That was a lot better.
Yeah, he killed me.
Oh man. I'm just super right. Pumped, guys. I'm super excited right. About this.
All right, we'll see you next week, everybody.
Attention Boise State fans, ESPN 970 and 97.5 The Zone is already the state of Idaho's best source for unbiased, truthful, and in-depth Bronco analysis. Now, join the most passionate Bronco fans each week for the Obnug Podcast on ESPN 970 and 97.5 The Zone and online at inthezone.fm.